Regina, the mic is all yours.
Okay, yeah, we'll see if I get to teach this afternoon. Let me just start by telling you what's going on here, because there was a question in my mind whether this would happen or not. So around 12:30 today, something started happening in my body. So I don't know exactly what it is, but I will tell you there's an awful lot of energy running through my body, and I can hardly sit still. In fact, I'm not sitting still. I'm a little bit like a 10-year-old. You know how when a 10-year-old sits still, they're constantly wiggling. That's what I'm doing, and I cannot stop. So I wondered when it came time to sit down and teach if Holy Spirit would help me settle down so I could sit here for an hour and focus and teach. But then I heard thunder outside, and I thought, or maybe Holy Spirit's going to cut off the electricity so that I can keep moving. So we'll see how this goes. Let's just leave it to Holy Spirit. But if you suddenly lose me, it could be that, you know, there's a lightning storm building outside. So we'll see what happens. But what I was doing was I was talking about the conference, 8808. That is a Friday, and the conference is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's scheduled, so it starts around 4 on Friday, so people can fly in on Friday if they want, and then it ends around midday on Sunday, so people can fly out on Sunday if they want. And really, the purpose of this conference, the name is Be the Love, and the purpose of this conference is not only to allow people who live the course to come and share how they do that, how they be the love in their everyday life, but also to allow everyone who comes to the conference to have that experience. So the vision is very, very experienced-based rather than lecture-based. We are still selecting who will be our Be the Love facilitators, so it's too early for me to tell you who those people will be, but we expect there to be all kinds of different experiences that will really, we really want the experience to come alive. I think a lot of you know that when I went to New Hampshire in June, I had an experience that has not ended. In fact, probably has a lot to do with what's going on with my body right now as I wiggle. Basically, at the conference in June, I seemed to be lifted up to another step of love, and you know, all of my experiences have been different since then. And you know, inspired by that experience, I of course would like to offer the same type of opportunity to others. So that is really the vision and the intent for this conference. It is not free because, you know, we don't have any money, so we can't possibly offer a free conference. If we were rich, we would. We'd pay for everything and let y'all just come, but, you know, that's not the situation. But we are trying to keep it cheap. And right now, you know, the prices are still tentative, so if you will just accept this as tentative, the price that we are looking at now for early registration, probably $275. That includes, of course, all 3 days of the conference, Friday night and Saturday night boarding, and then the meals, dinner on Friday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Saturday, breakfast, and lunch on Sunday. So not free, but as you can tell, we are trying to keep it down. And since we haven't got everything quite figured out, if you'll take a little bit of flexibility in that price until we formally announce it, I'd appreciate it. Because, as I mentioned, we don't really have money, so we can't pick up any slack. We need to make sure that we cover our expenses. But it is our goal to keep it as low as possible. So that's the situation. So what I'm going to do is let go of the mic and wiggle a little bit and see if you guys have any questions about the conference before I move on. Any questions? All right, then, let me give you the link to, I see all these, I see everybody is translating the cost into their local price, £137 British. Does anybody know how many yen that would be? Tell you what, let me give you the link to reginadonacres.com because that's where we are working from today.
I know maybe I shouldn't come on again. This is Cheryl. I was just going to say, that's interesting that you're feeling so wired, because I was saying I feel wired today. I thought it was, I drank this combination of spirulina and hemp protein and juice and kelp. I mean, I drink that every day, honestly, and it doesn't make me feel this wired. But the weather's been weird here, too, with a lot of rain and lightning as well. So I don't know. Maybe it's... Or I'm a Virgo, too. I don't know. Maybe it's an astrological thing or something. But just thought I'd share that as well. So good luck to you. I know you can do it.
Thank you. I'm still trying to get an internet window to come up for me. I'm going to give it one more chance. And if not, then I'm just going to assume Spirit has another plan for me right now. Because, as I mentioned, when I sat down, I had this feeling that I wasn't certain this was going to happen. So... See if anybody else. Okay, Alan, please take the mic.
Yeah, Regina, I was wondering if you would talk about. This sounds silly, but love, because I don't know what the word means. So, do you have anything you could say about different words for love that I might better understand than the word love itself? I'll just give you an example. I say I don't know anything about love. And I don't know what the word means. And then I was cleaning house, and I cranked on some music that I like. And I can feel it all through my body. I can just move with it. And that's about as close to knowing what love feels like as anything that I have experienced. So I don't even know if I've asked the question, but that's what I was thinking about anyway. Thank you.
Yeah, Alan, you've asked a perfect question. And to be honest, there was a time when I would say Holy Spirit abandoned the word love for a while when talking to me, because in order to understand what love is, in order to know love, I had to get away from what I thought love was. And just because, you know, the word love had prior associations for me which were incorrect, Holy Spirit just kind of left the word love alone for a while and taught me through other ways. And the very first word that Holy Spirit used with me instead of love was freedom. That was the word that Holy Spirit went to, freedom. And in fact, Holy Spirit did end up giving me a definition for love last November, which is the most perfect definition I have ever heard. And the definition goes something like this. Love is Spirit giving to Spirit through Spirit that which Spirit requests. And I'll say that again. Love is Spirit giving to Spirit through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. And when you really understand that definition, what you find is that everything is love. Everything. And isn't that what the Course says? That everything is love. And, you know, at the level of the human experience, what this means is, whatever it is that I am focusing on in my mind, that is what I receive from the universe, which of course is what the law of attraction teaches. Whatever I focus on in my mind could be called a prayer. Even if I think I'm focusing on something I don't want, like in The Secret, they use the example of debt. You have all of this debt. You think you don't want debt. You keep worrying about the debt. All you're focusing on is the debt. And what happens is you get more debt. That's actually love. Love is Spirit giving to Spirit through Spirit that which Spirit requests. So what that really means at the level of human experience is we need to watch what we are requesting. And we need to understand that our thoughts are our requests. And as they explain in the movie The Secret, the problem is that most people focus on what they don't want. If they're in a bad relationship, they continue to focus on and worry about how bad the relationship is. If they have an ill body, they continue to focus on and worry about their diseases. Et cetera. And so what happens is we receive more of that. and we do not understand that that is love. We are being given exactly what we request by the universe. That is love. That's why love is freedom. We are completely, completely, completely free to have any experience we desire. And so we really need to pay attention to what we are desiring. And this is why the Course, NTI, the Way of Mastery, they all emphasize that what you need to do is ask yourself, what do you really want? You know, this is a really important question, because if what I really want is happiness, which actually is what we all really want, so that's a pretty easy one, then I need to ask myself, are my thoughts in alignment with my goal? And what the majority of us will discover as we start looking at our thoughts very honestly is they are not at all in alignment. And we are receiving that which we are asking for through our thoughts. And in fact, one thing that I did, I think this was around May of 2006, the Holy Spirit guided me to start walking around with a little notebook, you know, one that was very small, maybe like 3x5, so it was very easy just to carry it in my purse or, you know, just have it with me wherever I was. And just had me throughout the day at different times, kind of made me aware of my thoughts and had me write them down, so that I could really see what I was thinking about when I was doing the dishes and buying groceries and walking the dog. Because the truth is, I wasn't aware. And, you know, I don't remember all of the thoughts now, but I remember some of them. Like, I remember I was worried about one friend being mad at me, and I worried about what he would say to me, and I was planning my defense in my mind. I remember my dad was coming to visit, and I worried about him looking at the backyard, which the dogs have destroyed, because my dad is kind of a yard person, and being disappointed on how I let the backyard be destroyed. I don't remember what the other things were, but when I looked at my list, what I found is that the vast majority of my thoughts were based on attack and defense, attack and defense, attack and defense. And so the law of love says that what I was going to receive through my experience was attack and defense. That's the law of love. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I'm going to receive. So when I realized that that is what my mind was doing, that is what I was asking the universe for, then I needed to ask myself, is that what I truly want? And of course it was not. It was not. So then I needed to learn to watch my mind, notice every single thought of attack and defense, even if it was somebody walking in my house and noticing that my floor was not vacuumed, right? If that's the thought I'm having, oh no, so-and-so is going to see that piece of dust on the floor, and let go of every single thought. And I learned to let go of my thoughts by simply resting the mind. When I noticed my mind was focusing again on attack and defense, I learned to just rest my mind and allow the thought to evaporate. And then once it seemed to evaporate, to pick up a Holy Spirit thought and hold that. And I'll be honest, it took a lot of practice. But another thing that we don't understand is not only does my thought affect my personal experience, but we are one. So our thoughts affect our total experience. So we ask questions like, you know, why is there war? You know, why are there people who abuse children, etc., etc.? And the real answer to that is because it's spirit giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests. The real answer is because the majority of us are walking around focusing on attack and defense in our mind. And so attack and defense is the world that we live in. And that's why, you know, the Course in Miracles says, do not change the world. Do not try to change the world. Change your mind about the world. It doesn't mean don't join the Peace Corps if you're guided. It's okay to join the Peace Corps. But to join the Peace Corps and continue to hate the government that you think created the problem is not the solution, because the real problem is in the mind. So you both want to join the Peace Corps and let go of the attack thoughts in your mind, because that's the real cause. It doesn't matter what we do at the level of form. It doesn't matter if we're a doctor healing diseases. You know, it doesn't matter what we do at the level of form. The only way to really change the world, which is the reflection of our one mind, is to change our one mind. And that is each individual's responsibility. So I'm going to let go of the mic for a second, Alan. I'd like you to pick it back up and let me know how you're feeling about love right now. Let me know if there's someplace else you would like me to go with this.
Okay, what I heard makes sense to me, so on some level I get it. And I'm wondering, because the past couple of days, what I've been doing in my defiant little way is just dropping out of my head and sitting in the silence that is in my belly. There's no more fear in my belly anymore. When fear occurs, it's higher up in my body. Like, it's gone from my belly up into my chest. So, had a lot of fear to look at, had a lot of anger to look at. And what I've been doing is just dropping out of it as best I can and staying focused entirely on the quietness in my belly where the fear used to be. That's what I'm doing. I don't know if that makes any sense. Don't know if I'm in the ballpark. But that's what I know to do right now. If I just don't make excuses for it, that's what feels right now. Thank you. Thanks for answering me.
Yeah, and what you're doing is perfect, because what happens when we still have all of the guilt, the unworthiness, the fear in our mind is that we experience love all of the time. But if we're experiencing love through the filter of fear, guilt, unworthiness in our mind, we don't experience love as love. We don't recognize that's what it is. And of course, that's the situation for the vast majority of the people. We do not experience love as love. We don't recognize that's what it is. What happens is, you know, it's just like, you know, in NTI, it's so funny because the Holy Spirit used to tell me so many perfect things, and I literally did not believe the Holy Spirit, but I wrote it down anyway, which is really wonderful, because now I go back to NTI and I say, thank God I wrote that down. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me in NTI that I didn't believe the day I wrote it down is he told me that I was the blue sky, but I thought I was the clouds, and I kept focusing on the clouds and thinking I was the clouds. And as long as I continued to stare at the clouds and insist on being the clouds, I would never know that I was the blue sky, and that what I needed to be willing to do was to look beyond the clouds into the limited blue sky if I wanted to learn that I was, or into the unlimited blue sky if I wanted to learn that I was unlimited. And the reason I didn't believe that at the time is because I really did believe I was the clouds. I believed I was that unworthiness and that guilt and that fear. Really thought that about myself. And I think I've told you all before, I used to think that all of you all were going to awaken and I was going to be the only one that wouldn't. You know, I was the lowliest of the lowly. And of course, what I've discovered since then, as I talk to everyone on the phone, is that the truth is we're all walking around with that belief. We all think we're the lowliest of the lowly. And if you look at that, you can see that that's a joke. It's absolutely impossible for all 6 billion of us to be the lowliest of the lowly. Therefore, that must be a lie. It must be, because it's just not possible, right? It's not possible. So we have to let go of that belief about ourself. And when we're letting go of that, what happens is those clouds start to rise up. They're moving. They're clearing away so that we can get to the blue sky. They start moving. And as they start moving, we start experiencing them. We start really feeling our self-hatred. We start really, really feeling our guilt. And we start really, really feeling our fear. And what we need to be willing to do is to let those clouds move away. And the only way to allow those clouds to move away is to literally feel the feelings while not believing the accompanying thoughts. Because what's going to happen, for example, when the guilt clouds are moving through you, is there's going to be a whole lot of thoughts in your mind telling you exactly why you're guilty. And it's going to point to stuff that you've done in your lifetime. It's going to have, quote, proof. And it's going to tell you exactly why you're guilty. And what you need to recognize is that this is my opportunity to heal right now. This is my opportunity to heal. And you have to choose to not believe the thoughts, but still feel the guilt. You feel the feelings, let go of the thoughts. You know, another mistake we'll make is that we let go of the thoughts and we push down the feelings. We try to hurry up, grab a book that makes us feel good, or grab a song that makes us feel good, and shift our attention. The truth is, we have to let those feelings rise and move. You're letting the clouds just move away. So you want to feel the feelings until they stop on their own, but don't believe the thoughts. And as you do this, those clouds start to clear away. So what happens is, you know, it's just like if the clouds were clearing away outside right now, I would see a patch of blue sky and a patch of blue sky, and you start having these experiences that are higher than the experiences you had before. So then you start getting some encouragement as you hit a patches of blue sky, and you start wanting to do more of this forgiveness work. And so you let more and more of these feelings move through. You get more and more confidence in feeling the feelings, letting go of the thoughts. You get more and more blue sky. And then pretty soon, Alan, you know, this takes us back to the question you asked on the peace of God. What happens is an experience like the one that I had in June, you know, which we call the grace of God. But that, as you mentioned, was just making the space for the experience, allowing enough of the clouds to move on so that there was literally enough blue sky that really the blue sky could become much more of my experience. And that's when love literally begins to feel like love. And it's very, very hard to describe to one who has not yet experienced it, because it's unfathomable to the ego mind that I can experience attack. I can receive an email from someone who seems to be an attacking email and feel nothing but love. But that is my current experience. So again, if somebody sends me an email and literally, I mean, the words, you look at the words, you know, there's nobody that would disagree that these words are attacking words. You know, this person is telling me how awful I am. I mean, you know, you know, as far as form goes, it's not a matter of interpretation. But I can literally receive those emails now and only feel love. I mean, there used to be, I would receive the emails, I would feel the attack, and then I would focus on letting go of it, right? That was another cloud moving through. It would seem to, you know, give me an opportunity to notice the guilt in me or notice the unworthiness in me and let it go. But now I receive the emails and it's just love. It's just love. So what happens as we have more and more blue sky is we start to experience love as love. And all kinds of things that we used to experience in negative ways, like I talked about when I was in Myrtle Beach and my family had an argument at the table, that was something that at one time would have really bothered me, having them argue over the dinner table. Love, perfect love the entire time, not anything else. Now, at the same time, as I've told you all, there are still clouds. You know, I have a lot more blue sky, which is wonderful, but there are still clouds. But what is happening now is that the love that is in me is really pushing everything to the surface that I need to see. You know, like yesterday, what was pushed to the surface was a part of my mind that did not want to surrender quite that much, quite that much to where I was really willing to, I would say, give my body to the Holy Spirit. It seems like the Holy Spirit now is really asking for my body. You know, let me tell you what to eat. Let me tell you where to go. Let me tell you who to be in relationship with. And there was a part of me that said, hell no. That's getting a little too close to my experience. You can tell me what to teach when I'm on Pal Talk, but I want to decide how much I'm going to weigh, and I want to decide, you know, who I'm going to be in relationship with. And I had to see that part of my mind come up so that I could look at it and I could realize that really that was just another form of resistance. That's another part of my mind that is trying to hold on to the world that is not in alignment with my purpose of really experiencing only love. That's a cloud. And then I need to let that move on through and say, yes, Holy Spirit, take my body and do with it as you will. So that's where I'm at today, is really, you know, really giving that willingness, just noticing every ounce of resistance in me to anything that the Holy Spirit may choose to do with my body, and saying, no, because, you know, it's not the body that I want, it's the love. And I literally have to make a choice. So I'll let go of the mic again and see if anybody has another question or any place else you want to go with this. I mentioned today, I posted an article today that that I thought was really excellent. And I posted it on several lists. That's how excellent I thought it was. I usually only post now to the Peace of God and NTI, but I posted this several places. And it was an article about a man who had a near-death experience. And of course, I've read many near-death experience articles before. But this one was different, because as I read this article, I knew, and I'm talking about at the level of knowing, not at the level of intellectual mind, I knew that what this man experienced was the truth. This was the experience. And the reason I knew that is because I have had a number of experiences that were not total as his experience, but they were a number of experiences that confirmed or validated his experience for me. For example, in his near-death experience, he talks about going beyond space and time. And of course, he describes going beyond space and time and being in the void, but he says that the void is not nothing. And, you know, that's one thing that I wouldn't say bothered me. I'm going to say the word bothered me, but I don't really mean bothered me. It's just the only word that's coming to my mind. That's one thing that has bothered me by what I see about what a lot of mystics write, is that they use the word nothingness. It's a nothingness. And I think that that word scares people. And I have experienced, you know, he called it the void. I have experienced what I would have called the energy. And it is formless. There's no doubt about that. In that way, it is no thing. Yes, it is formless. But it is not nothing. It has a feeling about it where it is much more what I would call everything. So I would never call the void no thing. I would call the void everything. Everything is somehow in that void. All of the feeling, all of the love, all of the gratitude, all of the joy, all of the freedom, is there. All of the creation comes from there. He also referred to that as the eye of creation. I thought that was a really perfect description based on my experience. Eye of creation was perfect, because that's really what it is. So you can see how it's not a no thing. It's much more of an everything. And in fact, when I experienced it, I've shared this with you before, but when I experienced it was when the Holy Spirit pulled me into it one morning, pulled me into this experience from my sleep. So I went from sleep into this experience, but I was awake. It wasn't a dream. You know, I was awake when I had this experience. But I suppose it happened when I was asleep. I mean, he pulled me into it from sleep, because in sleep I was so relaxed. It was a perfect time. But I was pulled from sleep into this experience, which lasted for about 2 hours. And I've described it to you before as a gratitude experience, only because that was the best word that I could think of. But basically what happened in the experience was that Holy Spirit was showing me different things in form, and most of them moved fairly quickly. The only one I really remember is the last one, which was war, because it lasted a long time. Most of the things in form moved very, very quickly. I just kind of was passing through all of this stuff. And as I passed through it, I was looking at it with the Holy Spirit. And what I felt for every single experience that I passed through was love and gratitude and joy. Everything. It was just, that's all I could feel, was this incredible, incredible, way beyond anything that feels human. Way beyond anything that feels human. This incredible love and gratitude and joy. And the last thing that the Holy Spirit took me to was war. And what was really interesting about that was that, you know, this was all in like a vision type experience, but I was able to see with the eyes, I was able to see the war. I mean, I was able to see the mangled bodies, see the blood, see the suffering, you know, all the stuff that we see with war. But then it really was just like the Course describes. It was like a thin veil. And it was as if the Holy Spirit lifted up that veil and we moved right through it into probably what this man described as the void. We moved right into the no thing, which was everything. And I'm going to say what I saw, although at this point there was no seeing with the body's eyes. This was more a seeing through feeling and knowing. What I saw was this thing, which is really what we are, this creative force. And what I saw was, gosh, it's so hard to describe. What I saw was the perfect freedom that allowed even war. And what I saw was the absolute celebration of freedom that was so complete and so perfect that it would allow even war. It was almost like, as crazy as this sounds, it was almost like war was the most beautiful expression of all. Because it was the most beautiful expression of how perfect the freedom was, of how limitless we are. Doesn't that sound crazy to the ego? But that was the feeling, and I think that's why I stayed with the war for so long. It was like the perfect symbol of our freedom, that we could do anything. Of course, when you bring that back into experience, that doesn't mean that we don't need to still ask ourselves, is that what we really want? Because I think we do. I think we need to ask ourselves, is that really the experience we want? And if we choose not to, then again, we're back to the mind watching. We're back to realizing that when we're thinking about the argument that we have with our spouse, and we're planning the next conversation, and we're planning the defense, that really that is attack and defense, and that's what creates experiences like war. And we need to ask ourselves, is this really what I want to do with my creative force? Is this how I want to experience love? Do I want to experience love as war? And if not, then we need to change what we're doing. But what was really interesting is that what I saw, again, as I was seeing with the Holy Spirit, was I saw how the Holy Spirit sees and is truly, 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 truly grateful for everything. And why the Holy Spirit will never push us to change. If we desire to change, the Holy Spirit is right there to help us, but will never push us to change. Okay, I have a question on the board, and Lori has her hand up, or Steve. I'll let Lori and Steve go, and then I'll take the question on the board. Okay, tell you what, I'll take the question on the board first, and then if you think that you get the sound fixed, raise your hand again. How's that? Okay, so the question on the board. I have a question for you, Regina. Can you speak about creating? I have recently felt led to start painting. I have always been involved in art in some way. I am finding my ego entering frequently. You'll never be any good. I'll only be in the best galleries, etc. What questions, self-talk, is helpful to go about my painting with Holy Spirit and not the ego? Yeah, obviously, you know, I am a firm believer of do whatever you're guided to do, a firm believer of that. So if you are feeling led to start painting, in my opinion, there is no question you are to start painting. but also, the ego is always going to come up in anything you're led to do, because the ego is your own resistance to awakening. So it's always going to come up in anything you're led to do. And that's wonderful. That's actually wonderful, because, again, in order to let go of those clouds, we have to be willing to let them come up. It's just like Jesus says in the Course, you have to walk through the darkness to get to the light. So it sounds to me, based on what you have shared, that the ego right now is speaking to you from your unworthiness and a little bit of fear as well, but primarily this seems to be coming from your unworthiness. So what needs to happen is that in a way you need to go with that. And by go with that, what I really mean is you need to let go of the thoughts. You know, when the thoughts come into your mind telling you that you'll never be any good, you need to let that thought go. But underneath that thought, there's going to be a feeling of unworthiness. And you need to go ahead and let that feeling be there. You need to feel that feeling. And in fact, what's been working for me lately, again, is literally imagining the feeling as a cloud moving through. And you just need to allow that cloud to move through and trust that that feeling of unworthiness is going to end when the cloud is through. And you just feel it. And the thoughts will keep trying to come back. The thoughts will keep trying to come back and tell you what a loser you are. And every time they come back, you got to let them go again. So it's letting go of the thoughts, but being willing to feel the feeling until it stops. And a word that Peace Pilgrim gave me that has always been very helpful to me is she called those a time of patience. It's a time of patience while you're letting that move through. And if you just let that move through, trust the healing process, trust that it will move through, be patient, and when you get to the other side, the inspiration will come. So it's really just a matter of doing the work. And this is why, to be honest, this is why a lot of people don't make a lot of progress on the spiritual path. They can be on the spiritual path for a long, long time. You know, I hear it all the time. I've been studying the Course for 25 years. When am I going to have the experience of the Course? Well, the real answer is it has literally nothing to do with studying the Course. The Course is helpful, but that's all the Course is. It has everything to do with letting go of the ego. And letting go of the ego involves the willingness to not believe your thoughts and feel the feelings until the feelings are gone. And most people don't want to do that because the truth is they believe their thoughts in the first place, and in the second place, feeling the feelings is no fun. They'd much rather deny them. Denial is, next to awakening, denial is our strongest desire. Next to awakening, denial is our strongest desire. I'm going to say that one more time. Next to awakening, denial is our strongest desire. And if you're really aware of that, you'll notice in your mind all the ways you try to deny. And you've got to decide, I don't want to deny, I want to wake up. And then again, when these feelings come up, you have to be willing to move through them. And then they go when you get the blue sky, and then, boy, I can't wait to see your paintings. Those blue sky paintings will be gorgeous. All right, Steve and Lori, take the mic.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me when I clicked on the mic and it didn't work because it wasn't plugged in. And then I remembered I unplugged it so that I could record something on the MP3 player from a stereo mix. So, and the last time I tried to put it in quickly, I pushed that socket into the computer and it didn't work. So I just wanted to pass as quickly as I could so I didn't be tempted to try and plug it in because you have to plug it in blind. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was really good because, you know, something that I heard you talk about before was like one day you were feeling the fear and you asked Holy Spirit if you spend the day meditating or something like that, and he said, no, go ahead and do what you were doing. So if you let the fear paralyze you, you know, that's what I think some people, if you let the fear paralyze you and immobilize you and not do anything, then the fear's winning, kind of, I think, you know. And if you don't move through the fear, I mean, sometimes, like in your example there, Holy Spirit said, no, go do the shopping or whatever it was you're supposed to do, and you kind of have to work through that fear. There's some fear that just turning it over doesn't seem like it, like you said, the fear was still there that day, so you had to actually kind of work through the fear, or just be aware of the fear, I think Holy Spirit told you, and just kind of go with it anyway, you know, don't let it immobilize you. And that's what I was going to share about earlier. You were sharing about how the void, you know, and Bart, or Linda Carpenter, shared something in a video that I saw from Pathways of Life from a workshop they did at Salt Lake City, and it was real clear that the ego wants you to be afraid of that void, because in that void there's no conflict and the ego doesn't exist. It doesn't have a function. It doesn't have anything, you know. And the ego wants you to be as afraid of that void as you can, that silence and the peace and stuff like that. The ego wants you to stay afraid of that, because if you actually work through it and go into that, you'll find, like you say, everything is there, you know. It's only the ego that believes the void is bad, because in the void there's no conflict at all. It's absolutely, or at least that's what I'm understanding, that there's absolutely no conflict, and without conflict or contrast, the ego has nothing to work with. It just doesn't have any power. So something that Jesus or brother or Holy Spirit was sharing with her was that you have to move past, like, that ego fear, And don't listen to the ego say that the void is bad. The void, there's only loneliness and death, and it's empty and black and all that stuff. And like you said, once you got into it, you found out that everything was really there. It was only the illusion that was gone, and everything else was there. So it was kind of neat that once you shared that about how you have to get into the void and really be into it to see what's there. And the ego's always going to try and keep you out of it, try and keep you afraid of it and put fear and darkness and, you know, it's really lonely and scary in the void. And I don't think I've ever been exactly in there, but I know it's not what the ego portrays it to be. So thanks for letting me share that bit and stuff. And here's the mic back. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks. Does anybody else have any questions or anything they want to share at this point? Okay, well, I'll go back again to this, some of the things I remember from this man's article then that, you know, I can kind of confirm. you know, he also talked about, he talked about how everything is alive, everything, you know, including like the microphone that I am talking into. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people accept the fact that nature is alive, you know, like they may accept the fact that a tree is alive or that a rock is alive, but I don't know if people accept the fact that their post-it that they're writing on is alive. It's not anything that I really thought about until recently, but another experience that I had recently, which you all may know about because I have shared it, was when I was in Shanghai that morning. And I had washed my face and hands, and I went to hang my towel on the towel rack. And when I hung my towel on the towel rack, I literally felt the towel rack love me. It was an incredible, incredible love, and it was evident that the towel rack was alive, you know, just a towel rack. And it was absolutely incredible. And from there, I think I told you, I went into the main part of the hotel room, and turned on Chinese MTV and started dancing. And as I was dancing, I was very aware that the floor beneath my feet was alive. And I was very aware that the floor energy, literally, the floor energy was grateful that it could be there for me to dance on. Its joy was my joy. You know, they were, both the towel rack and the floor were grateful to me. The towel rack was grateful to hold my towel, literally. And the floor was grateful to hold me as I danced. And one of the things the man said in this article is that, you know, after having his experience, he would be happy to be an atom in this universe, just to be an atom. And I think that that's really what this universe is, based on that little experience that I had. Everything around us is joy and love. Everything around us. And it's literally like Jesus told us, we're just walking around with our eyes closed, and we don't realize what a wonderful experience we are having. How, you know, you pick up a pen and write with a pen, and that pen is thrilled to be there in your hand serving you. Honestly, that is the experience I had with the towel rack and the floor. And I it's not an experience that I have in every moment. That was, you know, like a one-time mystical experience. But now I have that awareness. I have that awareness of, and I think about it from time to time. Like when I pick up a pen, or, you know, when I start putting my hands on the computer keyboard, I have the awareness that there is a joining there that is magnificent and far beyond my current awareness. And I just take a moment to feel gratitude for that joining. So that is another example of all there is love, which is what the Course teaches us. All there is love. And we simply aren't aware of it. And the reason we're not aware of it is because we have all of that other stuff in our mind that isn't true. And the way we become aware of it is by letting go of all that other stuff that is in our mind. I mean, this is what the Course is teaching us. We remove the obstacles to love's presence, and then love's presence is simply revealed. So we don't meditate ourselves into, you know, I'm going to notice my pen is love. I'm going to notice my pen is love. You know, we don't force it. There's an effort there. What we do is we notice, I don't know that my pen is love, and I am willing to see differently, and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. I noticed somebody wrote earlier, one step at a time to that experience. And we trust that every single thing that is coming into our experience is being brought to us so that we can learn our pen is love. And we use every single experience. This is where the term divine selfishness comes in. We literally use every experience. We use every relationship. We use everything for the purpose of letting go of the ego and accepting the truth. You know, so we're continually opening our mind to things that we did not think were possible. We're watching our mind for limits in the mind, and we're letting go of the limits in the mind. We're continually opening the mind, becoming more and more accepting, and we're continually noticing when we have thoughts that are not the thoughts we truly want, and we let them go. We continually go through those experiences of releasing the clouds, the fear, the unworthiness, the guilt, letting them move through. It literally becomes our only real job. You know, we may seem like we have other jobs. We may seem like we have other responsibilities. We may seem like we're doing other things. But all of those things are underneath the umbrella purpose of awakening. And that's really all that we're doing, no matter what it looks like. And this is why I kind of laugh when people say, oh, you're going on vacation, huh? Because to me, there's no such thing as a vacation anymore. Or the other way of looking at it is that everything's a vacation. I don't know what that means, but there's no change in what I do. You know, I never change what I'm doing anymore. I am always doing the same thing. It doesn't matter whether I seem to be working, whether I seem to be on vacation. I am always doing the same thing now. So it's either all vacation or there's no vacation. You can pick whichever way you want to look at it. But that's the way we awaken, is have every single thing have that same purpose and not deviate, you know. And of course, in the beginning, that's really hard. And so we just do the best we can. And every time we remember, that's when we practice, you know. So we may forget for 2 or 3 hours, but then suddenly we remember to watch our mind. In that moment, we start again. And we don't judge ourselves for the fact that we forgot all morning. And, you know, what Holy Spirit told me in TI is that's really what the mustard seed represents, you know, or the yeast within the flour that is the kingdom of heaven. That's what that represents, that if we remember when we remember and not judge ourselves for having forgotten, if we remember and practice whenever we remember to practice, that the Holy Spirit will guide our remembering to be more consistent. And eventually, we will be doing it all of the time like we want. So the real key is not to judge ourselves when we forget. Just the moment we remember, start again. And then that will increase, and eventually we will be doing it all of the time. So, gosh, look at this. We're down to 2:56. So we've only got a couple of minutes left. Anything else that anybody wants for the last 4 minutes? All right, well, it looks like this turned out to be a lesson in love. A lesson in love. And again, if I can just go into my own divine selfishness and go back to me for a moment. You know, my current lesson in love is learning to let go once again, to let go even more, to notice the things in my life that seem to be very personal, that I seem to want control over, and to be willing to let go of even those. In fact, Carolyn and I were talking on the phone this morning, and we used an example that I actually got from David Hoffmeister. It's a wonderful example. David used to say that, you know, going with the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, whatever way you want to say it, going with the Holy Spirit is like getting on a water slide. And, you know, once you get on the water slide, you're going down the slide. That's what's going to happen. You know, you can't help that. But there's really two ways to go down that slide. One way to go down that slide is to hold on to the edge and try to fight it all the way. And if you try to fight it all the way, it's going to be painful. You're going to be ripping out your fingernails. You know, things are going to happen. But you're still going down. But it's just not going to be any fun. The other way to go down that slide is to lift your hands in the air, as Carolyn is saying now, and go, whee, and just go with the slide. Because once you've made the decision to go down the slide, you're going down the slide. The only question is, how much fun are you going to have while you're going? And this is what Jesus talks about in the Course, too. He says, I need happy learners. That's what he says. I need happy learners. And a happy learner is literally someone who is willing to let go of something the instant they notice they're holding on to it. And Steve, this goes back to your favorite image, or at least one of your favorite images. You seem to bring it up every time I teach, which is the tunnel of love. You know, that was a vision that the Holy Spirit gave me in my first year, where I was in this tunnel, and it was like a wind tunnel, and there was a brick wall, and only a few bricks were missing from the top. So a little bit of the wind, which turned out to be love, a little bit of that wind was able to get through, but for the most part, the brick wall was blocking it, and it couldn't get through. And the Holy Spirit told me my job was to take down the brick wall so that the love could flow freely. And I thought, I looked at the bricks, you know, there's cemented in there, and I thought, that looks like a hell of a lot of work. I mean, I don't even know if I can do that. And the Holy Spirit said, don't worry, I will loosen the bricks for you. I will loosen the bricks for you. All you have to do is, when you notice that a brick is loose, is take it down from the wall. And that's really what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit guides us so that the, you know, through our life, so that the stuff comes up in the mind. Like yesterday for me, my day was orchestrated perfectly so that I recognized that I still wanted control in some aspects of my life. I saw it. That's a loose brick. So the Holy Spirit has loosened that brick for me. Now it's my job to let it go. And if I let it go quickly, I'm going down the water slide with my hands in the air going, wee! And I assure you that the choices the Holy Spirit makes for me are going to make me happy. See, that's the fear, is that the ego thinks whatever the Holy Spirit chooses is not going to be what I want. My experience has been the opposite. My experience has been, when I let go and let the Holy Spirit make the choices, they're actually better than the ones I would have made. And so I need to trust that and continue to trust that and let go even more. This brick is loosened, I take it down from the wall. But then guess what? There's going to be another brick, something else. The Holy Spirit's going to guide me in a way that something else is going to show up in my mind, and I need to let that go. And so that brick will be loosened for me. So I don't have to go on a witch hunt for what to let go of. I just trust the healing process. Holy Spirit brings it to my attention. I have to make the choice, however, to let it go. And I have to make the choice to let it go. And if I'm a happy learner, I let it go quickly, and I have a wonderful, wonderful time on the spiritual path. If I choose to be a resistant learner, I'm still moving in the same direction. I'm just not having as much fun along the way because I'm suffering. But the one that's creating my own suffering is me and my choice not to let go easily. So that is it for me. I am out of time. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing what you wanted to do this hour. We'll see. Maybe we'll get back to ReginaDawnAkers.com next week. I'll post this really soon for you, David, and under Holy Spirit guides, and I love you all very much. Goodbye.